With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0.
Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
All right, welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. I have to get all this tech stuff worked out, I think. Yes, we're good. We're recording. Thank you so much for joining me for the Sam Sorbo Show. We're going to talk today about the election. I've got some great news for you. I don't want to hold out false hope. I think there is hope. So I want to share that with you today. Also, we're going to talk about the vaccines. And I've got Kaya Jones joining me in a little bit. So let's get started because there's a lot of stuff to go through. First of all, last weekend, I got to fly to DC and go to a White House Christmas party. They do have a number of Christmas parties, but this one was pretty special, I have to say. It was late Friday night, and oh my gosh, we had a blast. My husband was with me, and we took some photos. I didn't get the really good, like, posed in front of the right play photo. We did a bunch of selfies. If you go to my social media, you'll be able to see them. It was a lot of fun, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And they must have had, I don't know, 30 trees that were all real, all decorated to the nines. They had a tree decorated with yellow roses. It was spectacular. They had trees, they were all decorated in different ways. It just was so beautiful. And they served dinner, sort of buffet style with little different stations. I actually had the White House mac and cheese, which was fusilli pasta. I should have taken a photo, but really good. And then the desserts came out. And the desserts, if you look on my social media, you see the photo. The desserts came out on long ceramic trays, and they were little. They were like petit four. They were little small one bite desserts that were arranged under little glass domes. They were socially distanced desserts. And I took a picture of the one that was the peppermint encrusted white truffles. It just was spectacular. Oh, and I got this cute little thing, which is a collection of Hershey's Kisses for Christmas. It says Christmas at the White House. And my problem is I don't want to open it because I don't want to hurt it because it's my souvenir. That was fun. And we did run into Mike Lindell there among some other people. But Mike was really a highlight of the evening for me. And I will get to that because we did talk about the election. And as I'm sure you know, Mike is a big supporter. Mr. Lindell is my pillow, is a big supporter of the president. So let's talk about the election for just a minute. We've got Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville, who is defying Mitch McConnell and says that the doors are open to a challenge in the Senate. He indicated this week that he may challenge the Electoral College votes from several key battleground states in the U.S. Senate. And that, of course, is in defiance of what Mitch McConnell has come out and said. What a wuss. I'm sorry, Republicans, can you please stand behind your president? Can you please stand by him and support him? The funny thing is, so I was on Newsmax earlier this week, and boy, I got a lot of email about that. All of it positive. I didn't get one negative that I've seen. I didn't get one negative comment or outreach from anybody regarding my appearance on Newsmax. And it's funny because they called me to talk about education. And then at the last minute, they changed it because Kevin and I did Sebastian Gorka on Monday, I guess it was. And so we were talking about the election. And so they switched tactics and they wanted to talk about our comments on Gorka. Here's the thing. It's absolutely obvious to everyone. Everyone knows that there was election fraud. Everyone knows it. So what do we do with that? Well, we have to do something, because if we don't, then our electoral process, the democratic process, is forfeit. Does that make sense? If we allow the results that people are claiming we have at this point, which we don't have results. And I will tell you, after thinking about this at length and looking at all the evidence of fraud and looking at the amount of fraud, over 100,000 votes in Nevada cast by not citizens. Come on. The whole thing is it stinks like 3 week old fish that's been left out in the sun. Okay. The more I think about it, the more I realize Donald Trump didn't win the election. He won by a landslide. And so I'll go into Mike Lindell. So we were talking at the White House Christmas party. That's just fun to say. We were talking at the Christmas party, and he said basically, this has just been a situation ordained by God. In other words, they had committed fraud. In fact, there are people out there who say this goes back to it even predates the Hillary campaign. But during the Hillary campaign, they said to Hillary, don't worry, we've got this in the bag. You don't have to campaign in Michigan. You don't have to campaign in Wisconsin. And that's why, you know, I remember a lot of us were like confused. She didn't even campaign in those states. Of course she lost those states. They thought those states were in the bag. It never occurred to them. They're so far gone in their denial of the reality of Trump support. They're so far gone in that it doesn't occur to them just how vast and far reaching the Trump support is. And so they told Hillary, don't worry about it, it's in the bag. And then on election night, the Trump supporters showed up, much to their shock and surprise. And so there was no making up for that. Well, this time, and by the way, I have another theory about all this that I'm going to share with you, but before I get off track, this time they had it in the bag for Joe Biden. That's why they said to him, stay in the basement. We don't need you to campaign. We don't need you to go out and have any more gaffes. And by the way, Joe Biden himself said on camera, the video is there for anybody to see it, we are running the most extensive voter fraud campaign in history. excuse me. It's right there. And I thought this was pretty funny. Joe Biden said years ago, in Washington, a gaffe is when you tell the truth. I'm sorry. That's straight from the horse's mouth, folks. That's just incredible. So in any case, Joe Biden, they told him to stay in the basement. They said, we've got this in the bag for you. Don't worry about it. And then they ran the Dominion software, the Dominion machines with the Chinese software, with the voter counters in Portugal or Spain or God knows where, who have the ability and authority to change people's votes. The whole system is corrupt. They corrupted it, okay? And then on voting night, on election night, at about 10 o'clock, they realized they had not calibrated the machines well enough to win, okay? So what they did, apparently, this is according to Mike Lindell, they applied a ratio system to the vote. And so 78% of Trump votes went to Trump. The others were flipped. And then they did the reverse with Biden, something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said, but they have the proof now to show that the votes were flipped. Now, here's the thing. The votes being flipped means that it's a 200% swing. It's a two-vote swing. Because when Biden, when the Trump vote, Trump loses one vote, Biden gets one vote. It's a two-vote swing. So rest assured, Trump didn't just win. Trump won by an enormous landslide. And the proof is this, and this is also according to Mike Lindell, and I really appreciated him sort of walking me through this. At 10 o'clock at night, when the swing states realized, and by the way, it was the swing states, it was those particular counties, because those were the counties that could actually sway the entire state, and that was the state that they needed, okay? That's why we're only talking about these areas. Florida? No problem in Florida. No problem. California? It's the swing states that were the states that were going to affect the outcome of the election. At 10 o'clock at night, they realized, oh my gosh, 78%, that's not going to do it for us. We need more. We need more. So they shut down the counting. That's when all the anomalies started happening. That's when they had the water leak, which turned out not to be a water leak. It was a plugged urinal, which anybody with half a brain could just walk over to the bathroom and say, oh, somebody plugged the urinal. Let's get rid of that. Don't worry, keep counting. Nothing to see here, folks. No, they didn't do that. All of these strange anomalies at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, overnight, and boom, they stole the election. And we can't let it happen. So, let's see. We talked about Tommy Tuberville. We'll see what happens with there. He said, well, you see what's coming. You've been reading about it in the House. We're going to have to do it in the Senate. The congressional procedure for accepting a state's electoral college results can be slowed considerably if one member of the House and one member of the Senate each object to recording the electoral votes of a state. So they can hold things up at least. But here's what was interesting, and this came across a little while ago. This is in my email. They cite Mark Levin. It looks like it's from somebody named Rip McIntosh. So I want to give credit where credit's due, but I also want to just to mention this to you because I think this is what's really fascinating. So he says, when it comes to elections, there is no higher court, there is no final authority that is higher than the state legislatures. And so when it comes to the recent SCOTUS ruling that said that Texas didn't have a standing to bring the case, rest assured, they knew that. And by the way, Mike Lindell backed this up as well. They knew there was no case. They brought the case to give the court the opportunity to weigh in and say, we have no jurisdiction here. They literally brought the case to give that opportunity and also for the left to say, oh, see, the court is being reasonable. They're acting responsibly. They can't weigh in. Okay? Follow me here. They knew that the case was going to get thrown out, but they brought it anyway because they needed to not test the court, but give the court that opportunity. And the reason that we know that they knew that it was going to be thrown out is because Mark Levin is a constitutional scholar and so is his wife, and his wife serves on Trump's legal team. They knew SCOTUS would have to say, hey, you can't sue another state. You guys have to work that out. Because otherwise, what would happen? The states would all sue each other. California would sue Texas and say, hey, your lower taxes are causing people to leave our state. You have to raise your taxes commensurate with ours, right? And then what would happen? The whole federation would fall apart because the joy that we have that we're sacrificing this because we don't intrinsically understand it, and our education system is a shambles It's not an education system. We don't understand that the great brilliance of these United States is that we are one country, but we are individual states. And what that means is the states compete with each other. And so when one state adopts a policy that is a poor policy, they have to suffer the consequences. That's why I disagree with the federal government going in and bailing out California. No, California, you got to get your crap together. You got to figure this out. And other states, by the way. So Texas, excuse me, Texas can't say they were wronged because they voted for Trump and Pennsylvania voted for Biden. Even if they had some illegal laws, okay? One state can't dictate the actions of another state, or we'd have no precedence for the individuality of states. So the Supreme Court, their hands were tied, and rightfully so, and they ruled correctly that there's no jurisdiction, that Texas doesn't have any standing. In fact, in this piece that somebody sent me, I love this line: where there is no competition, there is tyranny. That's what that is. You have to allow for the competition. And in fact, we used to do that with schooling. And the states used to be in competition with each other with schooling. And now we have Common Core. And I'll never forget, I'm on the airplane sitting next to an educator who likes Common Core. This is years ago. And I said, "Why do you like Common Core?" And she said, "Well, that way everybody is at the same level." And I said to her, I feel so badly because people are so naive, and there are worse words I could use. I'm not going to. I said to her, "What if that level is lower?" You see, naively, we assume that everybody at the same level means everybody's higher. Equality for all, socialism, means everybody's higher. No, it means equal poverty for all, equal misery for all. That's what socialism is. Common Core is equal stupidity for all. Okay, so here's what's funny. After you prove that the states can't sue each other, the other part of this is you're in a better position defending than prosecuting. It's easier to defend yourself than it is to prove that the person you're accusing is guilty. It just is. That's just the way it is. We have the benefit of doubt, and we have innocent until proven guilty. And so he writes, Trump stands a better chance of winning as a defendant than he does as an accuser. So here's the good part. Excuse me. The state legislatures, hold on. The SCOTUS, one, SCOTUS might hear the case, or two, SCOTUS won't hear the case. They won't hear the first case, but they may or may not hear the second case. And so we're trying to figure out if it's going to go back to SCOTUS. The state legislatures are going to be pissed. They'll feel as if they have been disenfranchised. They'll either vote Monday or January 6th, when Congress starts counts the votes. The state legislatures will change their certifications for Trump. Those four states, the four states that are sort of in the balance, maybe even Arizona and Nevada. We're seeing new things coming out of those states as well. That's going to cause an internal legal battle within the states. By Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, the state legislatures will have final say on whom they want to certify as the winner of their states. Well, this is going to piss off the governors. They've all illegally certified the states and illegally passed state laws that strip the state legislatures of their Article 2, Section 2 powers. The states will say, we have the right, we're not backing down. The governor's AG will say, well, we'll see you in court. Now comes the second part. The SCOTUS is now in a pickle. they don't have the authority to tell state legislatures to ignore the Constitution and follow federal law. Federal law is automatically overridden by the Constitution. So they can do one of two things. They could take the case, and no matter what they ruled, the state legislatures can ignore it since they have the constitutional right. Or SCOTUS can do what they probably will do, and that is they'll throw out the case because now they have a precedent for throwing out that case. Now you can't say the SCOTUS was politicized since they threw out both cases. But in throwing out the case, they legitimize the state's legislature's decisions. And Trump wins. But what if they take the case? Okay. Remember when I said that it's harder to win as an accuser than as a defendant? Well, the AG of Pennsylvania, for example, will have to explain why and how any federal law can override the Constitution. That's going to be a hard case to prove. Now, okay, all bets are off. Anything can happen. Goodness knows we're in the age where anything can happen. But at least the writer of this piece is betting that five of the justices will disagree that they can literally cite the Constitution as precedents in final authority. I mean, they'll disagree with the idea that they can override the Constitution and they'll cite the Constitution, right? In which case, Trump wins. He thinks that the Supreme Court will stay out of it. They have precedents to just recuse themselves, refuse to hear it and say, no, you guys have to sort this out yourselves. So if they do get involved, it'll be after January 6th. That would be a constitutional crisis. Then they'd need to step in and settle the matter in three possible ways that he delineates. Ignore the complaints. Trump wins. Take the case, invalidate the elections, give it to the states to vote. Trump wins, and we have a state majority of 26. Or take the case, order a nationwide audit and recertification with all the fraud, taking into account all the fraud. Trump wins. So he's very confident that Trump will be sworn in January. I'm perhaps a little bit leery because, how do I put this? There's a new blog that somebody just referred me to called Blog and Ma Blog, or Blog and May Blog, Blog and May Blog, maybe. You can look it up. The December 16th issue was particularly interesting for me. And the reason is because he's a Christian, and he's only looking at things sort of with the Christian worldview, or a very distinct Christian worldview. And let me just put it this way. Do you think that the party that supports ripping babies apart limb by limb while they're in the womb and they can feel pain, do you believe that those people would stop short of stealing an election? You tell me. This is my new litmus test, folks. This is my new litmus test. Are you pro-choice? Because if you're pro-choice, I am very leery of you. Now, I can offer grace and forgiveness, and I can have understanding, but for instance, if you want to be my doctor and you're pro-choice, no, not interested. I'm sorry. It's crazy, right? But if you believe that death is a viable alternative, yeah, no. Why would I want you taking care of my healthcare? I'd be an idiot, right? It'd be ridiculous to think of that. So there's that. Okay, the vaccine. I'm not getting through any of this stuff. I've got so much. Here's a healthcare worker without a history of allergies hospitalized in the ICU following a severe allergic reaction after receiving COVID-19 vaccine. I just want to point out, folks, and my husband tweeted this, which was so clever. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSamSorbo, and you can follow him at KSorbs. His Twitter feed's amazing. He tweeted, so the CEO of Pfizer is saying, yeah, I'll hold off on getting the vaccine. I don't want to cut in line. I'm like, well, I'm with him. By the way, Kamala Harris has yet to resign her Senate seat. I'm with her. So funny. I know, it's ridiculous. This healthcare worker, she's in Alaska. She developed a severe allergic reaction after the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. This is according to NBC News. There's another healthcare worker at the same facility who also experienced a less serious reaction following the injection. There were several reactions in Britain, and so the British healthcare system issued a warning for people who suffer from allergies. I'll tell you, I have allergies. I have no interest in getting the vaccine. And by the way, this is across the board. I don't get the new iPhone when it first comes out either. It's just not my, it's not my way. I want other people to try it out. I don't go to movies for the same reason. I want to read like a ton of reviews before I spend my money to go to the movie theater. Well, of course, nobody's going to the movie theater much anymore. I just heard a couple people say to me, they went to the movies and they were the only people there. Amazing, right? So let's see. There's another story, this one. So I wanna share this with you. This is my guest is Kaya Jones. You know what? I'm gonna bring her in because she just showed up. Kaya Jones is one of America's prominent female conservative voices. She reaches millions across social media. And I have something on her Twitter feed that I'm going to share with you. She's a platinum recording artist and best known as one of the lead singers for the Pussycat Dolls. And that's one of the most popular girl groups in history. They sold over 40 million singles worldwide. She also became the youngest female at the age of 26 to start her own record label, which she called Hue Man Race Records. I thought that was very cute. She's had the honor of singing the national anthem for Mike Pence and President Donald J. Trump. And in 2018, she teamed up on an album with Christian singer Jason Crabb. She earned her first Grammy for that. And she's now a Trump campaign advisory board member serving on the Women for Trump Coalition. I think I got it all in there. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
There
I'm here.
We're looking for your video.
Oh, hold on. I'm here.
That was such a your beautiful face. There she is.
That was such a beautiful intro. Thank you so much.
I worked very hard on that.
How are you doing? You look great.
You do too. You've changed a little bit since the last time I saw you, but you look fantastic. Tell me, well, first of all, your Twitter feed's pretty incendiary. I want to play something because I've been talking about the vaccines, and I want to play something from your Twitter feed. So let me see if I can get this up and running here. This is you shared this from Pastor Greg Locke, and this gal is talking about having just had the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. I did, yes. So, you know, all of my staff, we are excited to get the vaccine. You know, we are in the COVID unit, so therefore, you know, my team will be getting first chances to get the vaccine. And I know that it's really, I'm sorry, I'm feeling really dizzy.
You just got the vaccine.
I'm sorry.
She's feeling dizzy. And what's interesting, she must be really embarrassed because I know what I faint. I do faint. And when I faint, I kind of know that I'm fainting. She knew that she was feeling dizzy. She should have just took a knee. So there you go. Poor thing. She'll be fine. We hope she'll be fine.
We hope she'll be fine. Yeah.
But then again, with the vaccine, who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. This is the thing, like she vagled, right? Like, and I have vagled before where you kind of lose consciousness. That's pretty serious. I mean, it also could be, you know, you just took something in and you have your face covered and you're breathing in, not fresh air necessarily, but there's many variables here that just kind of are strange.
So, and we've had the stories, Kaya, from overseas, from Britain, from Alaska. Mm-hmm. There was a gal who ended up in the ICU after getting the vaccine and having a severe allergic reaction. I don't know. Are you going to get the vaccine?
I'm more of a natural girl. So I have to see where this is going. I think that's what a lot of people are nervous about, that this is going to be mandatory and not something that we can make a choice on.
Yeah, that is the concern, is they're making preparations already for some kind of vaccine passport, or who knows, maybe they'll put a barcode on our foreheads and that'll be the new, you know, the mask and the barcode.
I'm with you. I mean, it's gotten pretty crazy.
So tell me, what are you doing for Trump?
Well, right now, I mean, I can't really do much. I don't think any of us can. We have to just see what is to come, right? Because the moment it turned into a legal battle, I think that's when most people in the campaign side are like, well, what can we do? You know, there's not much we can do other than getting his messaging out and just saying, look, we need a fair process. This isn't a left or a right thing. This is just about having a fair election.
I think it's important, though, to, for lack of a better term, keep the faith, right? There are a lot of people out there who are going, oh my gosh, so it's over? No, it's not over. It's demonstrably not over. I mean, that much is clear. And I mean, I remember back, you know, a while ago when the message was simply, the only way Trump can lose is if he concedes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually 6 different pathways to victory as of right now. And so we actually have to wait and see. I only saw really 2 or 3. And then this lovely gentleman did this video and he explained all of the different ways, and highly intelligent. And I immediately was like, okay, so there's multiple pathways here and we need to kind of just see what is to come and just take our time, keep in prayer. Pray for our country, pray for our president, pray for over ourselves, but keep the faith. And I think a lot of people feel beaten because of the year they've had, you know?
Right. Well, yes. So you tweeted Kaya Jones, at Kaya Jones. Did you put that video up in your Twitter feed or on social media anywhere for people to go and see it? And do you want to walk us through a couple of the paths that you see?
Well, the first one, of course, is the Senate, right? So we know that we're waiting on Georgia. And we have to see what happens there. So, you know, we got to get people out and voting in Georgia. I did hear AOC, she was actually encouraging people to move to Georgia to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that illegal?
Well, and I was saying to, right before you came on, Kaya, and I know that you feel similarly, I think. Do we really think that people who support tearing little innocent babies limb from limb inside the mother's womb would stop short of some kind of voter fraud, some kind of election fraud? Do we really think that they're playing by any rules that we would, ascribe to them? No. So yes, of course, move to Georgia and vote, vote often, vote many times, vote for, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. In fact, if you look at some of the fraud, some of the examples of the fraud in this recent election, the problem was that they thought that they had it in the bag. They got cocky. Trump won, was winning by so much that they realized at the last minute they needed to do something. And they literally hand-filled out ballots just for Biden with nothing in the down vote. They didn't even fold them to make it look like they mailed them in. And they passed them through the machine or through the counter. They won't stop at anything. The voter fraud is so obvious. It's so blatant that what I've been saying is if we don't do anything about it, if we don't correct it, then we've lost our election process.
You're right. You're right. No, you're 100% correct. I mean, this is, in my opinion, the last time we will see a fair, if we don't fight for a fair election, because it's going to a point where, you know, they tried to impeach him. And before that, it was Russia. And before that, it was Stormy Daniels. And before that, it was, you know, dossier, this, and that. I mean, it was, you know, spying on a presidential candidate. I mean, that's, these are serious things that have gone on. And every single person that supported their nation, their veterans, their president, and I've always respected the office. This is why I'm so, it's very perplexing to me. I'm just very like, wait, I've always respected the office. I never voted for Obama, but I never disregarded him or disrespected him because I love being an American. And what we saw during this entire run of Trump for the 4 years that he's been here has been hate, hurtfulness towards his wife, towards his child, you know, his young son. I mean, the things that have been said about locking him in a cage. And I'm thinking like, wait, and so everyone that supported him, they attacked us too. So we do have to, you know, I mean, it's nuts. What about just having respect for our commander in chief? What happened to this? It's gone.
And by the way, you know, they're now calling for us to for retaliation against everybody who supported Trump, for retaliation. Right. You know, right. Can you imagine if the Trump MAGA people, once Trump was elected, said, yeah, now get them, get the Democrats, put them on lists and don't serve them in restaurants and refuse to deal with them and shut them down and make them lose their jobs and don't give them any food. Like, seriously, they want to starve people out. But here's the thing, Kaya, they want to starve everybody anyway. That's what these shutdowns are.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, what we've experienced, and I know you and your husband as well, we've all experienced it. It's very hateful and divisive. And that's not actually what, you know, changes the world. I mean, so I think a lot of Americans right now feel like if we don't fight for this, because this is the one thing that we can't back down on. You've called us names. We've lost jobs. There's things that you've polarized us for sure. But when it comes to losing, you know, the highest seat on the planet due to just because we know what happens here affects everyone everywhere. I have fans that literally say, keep fighting. Please keep fighting. We're praying for you guys. We wish to come to America one day. You guys are the hope of the world. You guys, they literally say these things and I want to cry. All that I can say is thank you. We're praying for your country as well. We appreciate the support, you know, because it's heartbreaking to know so many Americans don't love our nation as much as so many people abroad.
Right. Isn't that amazing? And the foreigners that I speak to, the immigrants who have come here, over the weekend I was in D.C. and I talked to a number of different, just happened to talk to a number of different immigrants, and you know, they came from Soviet bloc countries or communist countries or socialist countries, and they all, to a person, they're like, yeah, you guys have no idea what you're giving up right now, but we're in the process of sacrificing. Talk to me about singing. So this song that you've won a Grammy now, and was it your first Grammy nomination?
Yeah, it was. First song I've ever done for the Lord with Jason, and the whole album won Best Roots Gospel in the Christian sector for the Grammy. So that was a big deal. I was completely elated because it's collectively, it's every single writer, producer, musician that was a part of that record. And our song was the lead track on that record. So I just feel so blessed that the first time I get to sing for the Lord, he blesses it like this. that for me was like, okay, I got to sing for you full time now. For sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The name of the song is Let It Be Love.
Let It Be Love.
And yeah. Can I just say that Kaya tipped for my audience to know Kaya has a very sultry voice, and he also has a sultry voice, and
he does.
And yeah. Your voices are just so beautifully meshed together. Who came up with the idea for you to sing with him?
Oh, Jada Marcus from the Rascal Flatts. Jada Marcus.
Get out of town. That's that's very cool.
Very cool. And it was, you know, it was not something that either of us anticipated. It was just something that was brought to me, and I wanted to do it so badly. I was like, I have to do it, please. Yes. And so a lot of people were lukewarm to it, you know, people that represented me at the time, because I think they were still thinking about me as something other than where I want to go, you know, where I was projecting, I want to be, you know, I walked away from something in the industry that was, in my opinion, it was serving a very secular side of the fence, very,
drill down on that. What exactly are you talking about?
Well, I mean, even after leaving the Pussycat Dolls, all the songs I ever got were songs that were always about taking off your clothes or glorifying your body. It was never about, like, you know, making people feel better about themselves. Not necessarily like you have to do this to be cool, but touching someone's heart. And that's really what music should be about, because right now we don't have enough of it. Clearly, we see the way our world is going, and music's so important to really give people strength, give people hope, let people, you know, feel something wonderful in their heart. And a lot of those artists are past that we used to have that really touched our heart and our soul and made us think we could fly, you know, made us believe in the magnitude of what is possible through Christ. I think everything's possible. So I was so happy that I was offered this, you know, not something that I would ever have been offered before. So I just was like, I have to do it. And I remember people around me were like, and I was like, no, I have to do it. So I'm glad that I did it. It's now changed everything for me, because now that's what I do full time. I now sing for the Lord full time. We have another song coming out for the Lord next week. So that's what I do now.
Oh, exciting. So I have to ask, did you lose anybody that was in your representative team or anything?
Oh, yeah. I lost the female manager at the time that I had. I'm happy with the manager I have now, Marcus Rickson. He's great. He's a Christian. Just brought in an agent, also a Christian. You know, publicist, also a Christian. So it's like God sending the right people at this time. So that's why I encourage so many Christians at this time, and even people who are just becoming new to their faith in Christ. You have to just plug in and start. This is a season for us to really ask and plug in and really cover ourselves, because as we can see, the world is very chaotic, not good. And I think God is very present. So I do believe that we're going to see massive breakthroughs in our favor. Just keep the faith, stay focused on God.
What's the biggest benefit that you get from your faith?
Oh God. So, I mean, it's harder. I guess that's not enough of an explanation, right? So
to be pragmatic,
yeah,
okay. You're talking to a non-believer, like why bother? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
I guess what the point is peace, true inner peace, true inner, clarity. Knowing that no matter what, you are not in charge, no matter how much you think you are in charge, you got to give it up. And the reason why a lot of us feel so weighed down is because we're trying to carry the weight of the world. We're not God. we're human. So we can't do that. But through the body of Christ, right, through receiving the Lord into our heart, that is what the Holy Spirit is. And that's why, you know, you see mothers who can lift up a car off of their children, or you see, you know what I mean? I'm saying that in all seriousness, because, you know, you see people that can do things that are just beyond measure. And that is what Christ does. I mean, he changes. You know how you met me. Yes. I had pink hair. I was about 40 pounds heavier. I mean, we can go down the list of things, and people ask, they're like, what have you done? And I'm like, it's God. And no one understands what I mean when I'm saying that. I'm like, I'm not overly thinking about food. I'm not holding pockets of energy in my body where I'm making myself feel bad because of something I've done. I've relinquished all of my sins to God. He's forgiven me now for, you know, I had to forgive me. So you should forgive you. Forgive yourself if you're going through it, because he's forgiven you. And then when you start to release that pain and those pockets of energy that you hold, because evil doesn't want you at your best self. But it, you know, if you're at your worst self, you don't want to be seen, and you're not seen at your best, right? And God wants us at our highest level of consciousness. So that's for me. It's peace. It's clarity. It's understanding. And also knowing that it's okay no matter what.
So yeah. I love that, because all of that points to a theme that I've been working on lately, and that is fear, okay? So right now in society, we are dealing with a great deal of fear. In fact, yeah. I believe that there are nefarious forces in our midst who are taking upon us because we are fearful. Mm-hmm. And it started with, of course, if we just look at COVID, it started with the fear that there were going to be 2.2 million deaths in world. And I believe that was worldwide, actually, but maybe it was just the United States, which still.
No, it was just the United States. You're right.
Okay. It still isn't like it's a lot, but it's not. We have 360 million inhabitants, something like that, maybe more, because there are a bunch of people that aren't counted in that. So I'm just saying, we started at 2.2, we're now down to less than 200,000. Mm-hmm. And yet they started with the death count, right? The daily death count. And then that wasn't high enough. So they changed it to the 3-day rolling death count. And then that really tapered off, because we had fewer and fewer deaths. So then they went to the weekly, I think they went to 5-day and then 7-day. And then they stopped reporting the deaths. Okay. Now they just report the total number of deaths, and and they went to instead the number of cases. Well, cases, schmaces, because if you're not going to die of it, everybody's got something at some point. So really, what's the big whoop? Well, the problem is we lost sight as a nation. We sort of lost sight of what was it that we were afraid of? Now we're just afraid of COVID, okay? We were afraid of dying by COVID. Now we're just afraid of COVID. And the point is, you're going to get COVID. It's out there. You can't hide from the virus. And so it's out there. So how do you deal with the fear? Well, you wear a mask, and you wear a shield, and you wear gloves, and you don't talk to people, and you keep 6 feet distance and more, and you shun people, and you don't go to the hospital to deal with any of your other, health problems. There's all of these different things that we put in place to protect ourselves. And I'm using air quotes, because of fear. And what I see faith doing, faith completely alleviates fear.
That's
because when you have faith, then you understand there's a purpose, there's a reason, there's a higher reason that is higher than your understanding. Mm-hmm. And the faith says to you, you don't have to understand. God has this, so you don't have to carry that burden. Don't have fear. In fact, Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of faith and love and a sound mind. And so where's our sound mind? I'll tell you where. The fear that they've instilled in us through the media, okay, through all the hype and all the media, that fear is paralyzing. That fear actually inhibits faith. It actually, statistically and by studies, they've proven that fear stops you from practicing your religion, basically, to sum it up, because we're running out of time. So if the fear is preventing the faith, and the tyrants who are using the fear to control you say, don't go to church, but go to strip clubs. Okay. Don't go to church, but go to the marijuana dispensary. Don't go to mom and pop shops, but shop at Target and Amazon instead. Mm-hmm. But Target specifically, Walmart, okay. Walgreens is okay. But the mom and pop shop down the street, those people are fearful that they're going to lose everything, and they will. Mm-hmm. The fear is the whole debilitating aspect in our culture today. And it's so dangerous. And the antidote is the church, is what they're trying to shut down. It's a complete spiritual war right now.
100%. 100%. This is all spiritual. But that's why even more so, we need to plug in and know that we are the church, not a building, not a place, not a thing. We are the bride of Christ. And so wherever you are, if you're in your bedroom, your bathroom, your car, you can have church there. You don't have to feel like because of this lockdown, you can't still praise God and get your power back from the enemy. And the enemy is the spirit of fear. And we know only lightness can drive out the dark. So, you know, if all of us really plugged into faith instead of, you know, focusing on the fear, everything I think would shift.
I agree, but I will say there are too many people in the United States who are so far from any semblance of church or religious
belief
that they will be sacrificed. And the left really seeks to sort of embolden them with their fear. I mean, I saw a guy, there's a video, you know, all these videos online. There was a guy following a woman saying, put your mask on, getting really close to her. Of course, he's wearing a mask. I'm not saying that he's that hypocritical, but he's getting so close to her. She's like, stay your distance, 6 feet, stay away from me. It wasn't about his safety, even though he said it's for our safety. You're being selfish, not putting a mask on. It's for everyone's safety. He didn't mind compromising, quote unquote, compromising his own safety. It's about power. It's not about safety. It's about power. And unless we corporately as a group start to stand up to that, I don't know. So, you know, they're shutting down small businesses. I'm telling people, please open your businesses, and please, other people, go and frequent those businesses. There's a business in Thousand Oaks, my old hometown, where they shut everything down. And this business said, no, we're staying open and you don't have to wear masks. It's a pizzeria. It's at 75 Thousand Oaks Boulevard. And I'm telling people, please go buy pizza. I'm heading back there in January. I'm going to head straight there and buy pizza. And I can't eat pizza. I don't care. I'm buying it for other people. Because we need to support the people who will stand for freedom.
That's right. That's right. Especially because so many businesses are going under and no one's talking about the seriousness and who is going to fix those collapses. Right. They're focused on it. Right now, I'm praying daily. I'm like, what is going on with the stimulus? The amount of people that are starving and that can't pay bills right now. It's heartbreaking. You have people running out and doing crime to be able to give their kid a toy.
Yep.
This is not okay.
And then you have leftist mayors and governors saying,
and they're saying, we're taking meetings.
But they're also saying, hey, you know, stealing is actually okay. In Seattle, they just passed a law that if you steal because you really need it, it's okay. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Of course, leftism stands directly in contradiction to all of the commandments and to everything in the Bible, which is why they're trying to shut down the church. Kaya, we're running out of time. Where can people find you and what do you have to promote that you want to let people know about?
Well, they can find me on Life Network for Women. It's a free app. And we just started my new show, Messages with Kaya. I would love to have you on there, Sam. And we talk about our faith. That's my focus is the Lord at this time. I think people need it, but you can find me on all social media, just at Kaya Jones. They are suppressing me very much so, because I talk about the Lord daily. I thought they suppressed me bad with Trump, but speaking for the Lord is even that much more radical now. So I deal with suppression. So you have to punch in at Kaya Jones, the whole thing, before you'll even find me. But other than that, go to Life Network for Women and get plugged into faith so you can extinguish the fear.
Exactly. To be clear, lifenetworkforwomen.tv. So, right?
Yeah, well, if you go to your app store, that's the easiest way. But if you're online, yes.
Okay, so yes. download the app, and which I'm about to do. And then
awesome.
I will see you over there, because that would be fun.
Yeah!
So thanks so much
for
coming to the Sam Silver Show. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Sam.
All right.